Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Tsepo Mahafa. I'm a PhD student from the University of the Witwatersrand, and I'll be taking you guys through the simulation work that I carried out with Fluker to look at the radiation damage in magnesium oxide as well as aluminium oxide. So the reason that we're conducting these studies is simply because we're trying to look at the effect radiation has on the secondary electron emission of magnesium as well as aluminium oxide. And the reason that we're doing this is simply because these materials are candidate materials for use as electron emitters in photomultiplier tubes. And for that, you need to consider three things, right? For the materials that you want to use as that, they need to have a low work function, meaning that they must be able to easily release electrons from the materials, and they also need to have high secondary electron emission, and they also need to be able to withstand radiation, which we tend to term high radiation hardness. So they must have that. So in terms of the PMT, what it is that it's a device that is used to convert light into an electrical pulse for purposes of measuring radiation. So now to explain basically how the PMT works is that while I showcase the schematics of the PMT. So what happens is that this PMT will be coupled to a scintillator, like a sodium iodide in a scintillation detector. So sodium iodide crystal in a scintillation detector. So whenever the light is produced from the scintillator, this light will interact with the photocathode, which is a thin coating on the inside of this evacuated glass tube. So what happens is that when there is this interaction, we're going to have photoelectrons being produced. Now the photoelectrons will then be accelerated by means of the focusing electrodes onto the first diodes. Now the diodes are these curved lines here, and normally in PMT they tend to be arranged in stages. Now in this instance, in this schematic here, there's 10 of them. So whenever the photoelectrons from the photocathode interact with the first diode stage, what happens is that you're going to have secondary electron emissions, and those secondary electrons emitted are going to then be moved to the second stage, and from the second stage more electrons are going to be emitted, and to the third stage and to the fourth. So what happens is that you basically have electrons being generated, and they're increasing in number as you move from one stage up until the last stage. And pretty much this is what the PMT is used for amplification of the electron signal, which is of course used for the purposes of measuring the radiation, right? And now the biggest concern now with this use of these materials, particularly for the diodes as well for photocathodes, is that the radiation damages these materials. And now the concern is that this might end up leading to a reduction in the efficiency of these detectors. So now to look at what exactly is radiation and how it comes about, I basically showcase a simplified representation of the creation of a Frenkel pair in a material. So what happens in this instance is that you have a highly energetic projectile interacting with the atoms in the material. And whenever there's a situation where you find that the energy transfer from the projectile onto the atoms in the material is higher than the minimum energy that is required to remove an atom from its site, we are going to remove these atoms. Now, whenever you remove an atom from its site, you're going to leave a vacuum in its original place. And that atom that has since been removed is going to be moving around in the material, interacting with other atoms, where finally it will end up lodging itself somewhere in the lattice, right? Now, the creation of these vacuums in interstitial, they are known as Frenkel pair. And that is basically our defects, right? Generally, when you have a few of this in a material, it's not much cause for concern. But the problem is when you have this process going for prolonged periods of time, and in that instance, that's when you start having issues, because you start having defect, extended defect clusters in the material, and that can end up leading to changes in your basically physical properties or structural properties of your material, and that's where the problem is. But now the question becomes then, how do we then quantify this radiation damage in materials? Now, to quantify radiation damage in materials, an entity or a property known as a dpa was formulated. Now, dpa stands for displacement per atom. And basically, what it is all about is that whenever you have a material that is radiated with some particular particles, if you're going to move a certain number of atoms, given the total number of atoms available in the material, then that's what the dPa is. And I showcase this to explain on the equation on the right where you say dPa equals to nF over nA. Our nF, those are our Fraenkel pairs, the atoms that have been removed from the material, and the nA is the total number of atoms that are available in the material. So, and in terms of how we determine the nF here, we determine that by implementing the NRT model. And basically what the NRT model says is if you ever have a projectile that transfers a certain amount of energy, which has enough energy to remove atoms from the material, you are going to move this material, right? And this also takes into account issues of how much of that energy was because of nuclear stopping power as well of electronic stopping power, right? But in terms of the interpretation of what dPa is that if you irradiate a material and you get a dPa of 6, what this says to you is that you would have moved all the atoms in the material at least 6 times. And of course, if it's a dPa of 1, it means you have at least removed all the atoms and they moved the atoms around the material at least once. And if it's 0.034, it means then you have about 0.34% of the atom removed around in the material. And the thing is, the higher the dPa is, the higher is the damage extent in the material. Now I've just gone back. So now how do we estimate this in Fluca? So now Fluca is basically developed and maintained by two organizations, which is the INFN from Italy as well as CERN. And so it is used basically for transport of a number of particles, I think around 60 of those, and from the smallest energy range in the EV all the way to TEVs, right? And now it is made easy to run Fluca by means of FLIR, which is a graphic user interface that is available, and we use it for running Fluca as well as for inputting, for creating the input file. But so in terms of our Fluca simulation, so what we needed was the source term. Our source term were basically the particle, the energies at which the particles, which were 1 MeV neutrons and 1 MeV electrons at the different fluence weight. We also have our target, which was 1 centimeter diameter disk, which are 1 millimeter thick. And also we also needed to also input the different material properties, which includes the density and critically the TDE, which is the threshold displacement energy, or ETH, in this instance, which is 69 for both of these materials. So now I showcase here basically the example of what our input file looks like. I'm not going to touch on to this. And then from there, when you start running Fluca, you'll then get your geometry. And from the front view, we can see our disk here and the beam coming to the center here. And also from the side, we can see that thickness of the disk and the beam coming to interact with the material. Now, in terms of the results, what do we see? So what we see is that when you irradiate a material, in this instance, magnesium oxide as well as aluminum oxides with 1 MeV neutrons, immediately what we see is that the neutron damage is pretty constant throughout the material. So how we determine dPa in Fluca is that we determine according is dPa per bin. So we take our material, we look at it in terms of the longitudinal direction, which is its depth, and we divide the material into bins. So in this instance, we divide into 50 bins. So this data point that you see here are the bin in 50 bins. So each and every data point represents a bin. So you get an average from each and every bin in this material. And so the number that you see represented here in the set, which is for 1 MeV neutrons, 1.1 exponent to 1 for magnesium oxide, that is the total average of the material, right? And as I've already indicated, that for neutrons, this is pretty much constant throughout the material for both magnesium oxide as well as for aluminum oxide. And you also see that the damage is comparable between the two, right? So when you look into the electrons, we also irradiated with 1 MeV energy electrons. And what we see is that the damage profile of electrons is different from that of neutrons. In this instance, we don't see the damage occurring throughout the material, but we see there's a maxima at which they occur, and sooner than later, then they start dropping off, right? And of course, this difference between the two is simply because of the way the neutrons as well as the electrons interact with the matter. And even with the electrons, we see that for both magnesium oxide and aluminum oxides, the dPa in these materials is pretty much comparable. So meaning that if you radiate with if you radiate magnesium oxide as well as aluminum oxide with neutrons or electrons, you pretty much are expecting to see the same damage in this material. They're almost identical. Right? But this is looking into this when you only radiate with one particle, right? Like one neutron or one electron. So what happens when we factor in the different irradiation to different fluences? So we radiated this for 8 hours and looked at it for fluences of 10 to the 15, 10 to the 17, as well as 10 to the 20. Now to see exactly what is the effect of fluence. So I think what you see here is that the more fluence you radiate this materials to, the higher is the damage. And we see that because, for example, at one exponent 15 for the neutron fluence in both aluminum as well as magnesium oxide, we see that the rate is about 10 to the 11. And then when we tend to take it to 10 to the 17, we see that there's two orders of magnitude increase to the 9. So in essence, that's basically what we see when you look at neutrons. The higher the fluence, the higher is the damage that you create in your material. And this is pretty much the same thing that we see with electrons as well. If you increase the fluence at which you radiate your material, this is also for 8 hours, you also experience the same thing, that the tPA is basically going to increase in the material. And in conclusion, what I can say, ladies and gentlemen, is that Fluka is a tool that can be used to estimate material damage by radiation. And what we've seen is that the higher the fluence, the higher is the damage in the materials. And pretty much in terms of the material, magnesium oxide as well as aluminum oxide, both have comparable damages. And I thank you.